to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, you're listening to another episode of Checkpoint Intimates, where two members of the team get one-on-one and get intimate about a topic. My name is Cameron, and I am joined by Elliot.
I'm here. I really had to struggle not to interrupt you during the intro, because I just got a bit bored. It's just better when I say it, you know?
Excuse me?
Well...
Wow, we're going straight in from the very beginning.
I go for the gut.
I'd like to everyone to note how much of an arsehole Elliot is.
It's not true. It's all in fun and jest.
Is it?
Yeah.
Because only one person's having fun here, Elliot. Anyway, we're here today to talk about... something fresh, something new, something up and coming in the world of gaming, and that is auto chess. So if you listen to the main show, you'll know that I did talk about this about, I think about 2 weeks ago now from when this podcast is going live. I spoke about the fact that I'd been playing Dota Underlords auto chess and League of Legends Teamfight Tactics. More on that terrible name later. I spoke about the kind of joy I've been having, and I gave a really, really brief kind of touch on what it is. But we thought we'd expand on it, because it's so rare that you get to actually watch something like this blow up
The birth of a genre.
And be involved in it. Because I remember, like, picking it up as it started. There's so many, like, with Battle Royales, I was very behind the times with that. With the digital trading card games, which I think is more akin to this.
It's been gone for ages, though, hasn't it?
Yeah, but, like, I missed that. I came in quite late to that. Even MMOs, I feel like, came in late to that. And I can't even remember when other genres began. Was I playing Doom when it first started? I think I was, but I don't remember. You weren't sitting there going, wow, I'm watching a genre be made.
Well, you weren't thinking about it, were you?
No.
You... like me, were young when we started gaming, so when you're playing a new video game, you're not going, this is the birth of a... because you have no idea.
Yeah.
You're just playing games and having fun. I didn't know the word genre existed in this sense.
Even as an adult, like, when we're talking about, like, you know, when looter shooters were becoming a thing, I myself wasn't like, I'm watching a genre be birthed. And I was an adult then.
It's true.
But so now we're actually watching it, and you can see it happening. You're watching this happen kind of in real time as we watch as something that was kind of small and nothing. And I remember seeing the mod and being like, that's a cool mod that's got some interesting things to it.
So and you're then talking it was about like, the mod of the Dota game.
Yes. So
which is now called what?
No, so let's delve into the history.
History lesson.
It's a history lesson.
Open your textbooks, children. Turn it to page 3.
So, to start this, we have to start at the very beginning, which is Warcraft. So, Warcraft 3.
The birth of the universe.
The birth of the universe started with Warcraft 3. it skipped 1 and 2 at the very beginning. So what happened was Warcraft 3 had online multiplayer, and it blew up. I think it's one of the first, like, big online multiplayers that blew up. Like, we were playing it at school... You were probably too young.
Oh, yeah, I missed it.
Okay, cool. That aged me very quickly. but, you know, it was something that everyone was playing when I was in high school. Everyone was on this. And if you could get a stable internet connection, you'd have LAN parties and you'd play it. It was huge. Now, in that, you would get custom games within this multiplayer thing where people would play with the rules, change the settings, and create their own version of a game. And a few of those included things as Defense of the Ancients.
Yeah, the original Dota.
Which then became Dota, which was a hero-focused Warcraft. Because Warcraft had introduced these heroes, and this was basically getting rid of all the things and streamlining a lot of that hero gameplay.
Yeah, well, I mean, Warcraft 3 was an RTS game. And then Defense of the Ancients turned it into, I guess, what we'd now call a MOBA.
Yes.
I don't think they were using that term back then. They were just calling it Dota.
It wasn't until probably, like, around League of Legends kind of stepping in there with Dota as well that people started to go, this needs to have a genre name. But there were some others on there as well. There were things like the Legion Tower Defense and Pokemon Tower Defense, which had their own kind of style of gameplay. And again, we're really popular and busy. So, fast forward, Dota's been going crazy. Dota blows up. It becomes its own game.
It's huge.
Valve gets the rights to Dota.
Both the original and Dota 2 are massive.
Yeah. And so, it's moved to Valve. Blizzard didn't want that.
Well, they wanted it eventually once they saw how effective it would be.
But they didn't want it when it was actually worth something. So, Valve grabbed that. Valve was very smart on that move. They made the right move there. And they took Dota and they made it its own game. Which is why when you play Dota, you look at it and you go, some of these characters really look like... they're from Warcraft.
Yeah.
Because they are. They're repainted. It's like when you get something and you just cover over it with a different skin and go, this is my OC, my original character.
This is yours? No.
Yeah.
This is mine.
So Dota blows up. Blizzard would eventually do Heroes of the Storm, but it was all a little too late. Within Dota, though, there became a modding community again on top of that. And I think it was Drodo.
I'm fairly confident it's Drodo. Let's roll with that.
Drodo.
It sounds better than Drolo. But maybe...
It's Drodo.
Maybe I've now offended the dude and it is Drolo.
It's Drodo. It's Drodo Studios. So Drodo is a modder who now is Drodo Studios. But as a modder, he creates this new take on Dota, which takes the Dota heroes and then also mixes in parts of that Pokemon attack defense.
I have no idea what that game is, though.
And the tower defense. They were two of the other really popular ones from there, but they never blew up like Dota did. Sure. But they were still popular enough that people were playing them on the regular.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And so it's basically taken this, and it's created this whole new genre called auto chess.
Is that what the official genre is going to be called moving forward? Because I feel like there's... have to reach a point where we rename the genre to not reflect on the game that started it.
There is already another name for it.
Like Auto Battler, I think I've heard.
It's Auto Battler. Which...
I mean, whatever. It's
maybe
a name.
ABS. Auto Battle Simulation.
ABS?
I just hate Battler. Battler is not a word.
But ABS already is a word.
Yeah, I guess. We'll find something.
Yeah, all right. Auto Battler. Like, it's up to us, Cameron.
Call in, everyone, and help us pick the new genre name. We're gonna tell everyone what it is.
Yeah,
today.
We'll spread the word.
But, yeah, so Auto Chess is currently what it sits as a kind of genre name, but it's much like how we don't call MOBAs Dota.
Yeah.
Like, it'll eventually birth... Oh, I keep saying birth.
Birth's
today.
Okay.
Birth. It'll eventually birth its own genre title. Now, Elliot, I believe that you and I are the only Checkpoint...
That we know of. End of sentence.
That's it. There's no one else.
Nobody else
anymore.
Exists.
No.
We do voices. It's like a cast of characters.
I've actually got like this wooden dummy that's Luke, and I just have him in videos with me. It's very macabre.
Very lifelike.
Yeah. Well, it's made from a human.
Oh.
He was a person one day. I don't know who he was.
Was he called Luke?
I can't be sure. But we're really like just jumping the train tracks here onto a completely different streamline.
Speaking of train tracks. No, I won't continue that thought. Keep going.
I don't know where that was going. Moving back, we're talking about auto chess. So, you and I have been playing it.
Yeah.
Quite a lot. I'm going to jump right in at the very beginning and say, what have you been playing the most out of the three? Have you played all three?
I played two. I have not played the original auto chess.
Okay. All right.
Or its move to mobile under an independent.
It's still called Auto Chess.
Yeah, it is. But what I'm trying to say is I haven't played the mod, nor have I played the independent release.
Oh, right. So actually, just to touch on that before we get into that. So, we've got Dota Underlords and we've got Auto Chess. This was basically Dota... Valve went to Drodo and said, can you make this an actual game for us?
Yeah, do you want to work with us? Do you want to publish this under our name?
And Drodo said, actually, I'd prefer to work independently. And a lot of people think that... Valve and Drodo have like underhanded each other and there's animosity. Actually, there was an agreement made between them that they'd help each other out.
Yeah,
and
sometimes it's okay when people split apart. Like, yeah, it's not all drama.
He just didn't want to get into a corporate kind of position. He liked doing stuff on his terms.
Yeah,
so
and
he's
it's
like,
his right to do so.
And so they made an agreement that they would make the game separately from each other.
Crazy choice, though, right? That's basically a job offer. It's like, hey, do you want to work for a video game development company and you'll be lead producer on this title? And it's like, nah, I'll make a mobile game.
I think there's a couple of things that lie in there. But like, yes, it's a job offer for the biggest, like, one of the biggest names in gaming right now. But also, I think that from what I understand, it was that idea of losing real control on the project he
for
created.
Sure.
Yep. So I think this was more about he wanted to create something that was his. He did this. It's Drodo Studios. That's his. He has the control. He says when, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it had already picked up enough steam that people knew mm-hmm. of him and it. So it wasn't like he was a nobody yet. People were already...
Yet? What are you predicting
for
the future?
No. Sorry, like, you know, like, there's some people who would probably go, like, I want to stay indie, but they don't have that kind of snowballing effect happening.
Yeah.
This wasn't that. So basically, they've made their two games separately, and he went off and made his own version with new assets, new characters. There's a little similarity, but it's a very different art style, and we'll touch on that in a minute. So you now have the mobile, and soon to come to PC, I think in the next week or so.
As an early access, an early access beta version.
And so that he's been on
probably
mobile
already
for
out
now.
By the time this podcast releases,
and that's auto chess. Then you have Dota Underlords, which is on mobile and PC as well. And so that is, again, it's keeping with the mod. They've just changed it a little bit. They've polished it up to be kind of a new entity. They've put their own kind of assets into it to make it something a bit new, but it's still the same kind of character models, that kind of thing that the mod was using previously. And then you have League of Legends Teamfight Tactics. Now, this is probably the one that it would seem the most kind of underhanded in the way that it's kind of swept in, because these two, no, in terms of these two have an agreement. I'm not saying it is. These two have an agreement, and this one's gone, I like this. This is the Fortnite to like Battle Royales. It's like, I like this. I'm going to do a version of it with a bit of polish.
I mean, that's what League of Legends was too, wasn't it?
Exactly. And I'm like, it's that thing where I'm like, oh, I really enjoy Riot Games, but oof, Riot. But
As a studio. Has been problematic.
Yeah, but that's but let's a move whole on. Other yeah, internet. Yeah. I think we've talked about it before.
Oh, we absolutely have.
But so you've got these three main ones. And so League of Legends Teamfight Tactics is a PC-only game. It's not come to mobile.
Yeah, it just runs straight through the League of Legends client,
yes,
right?
Yeah, so it doesn't have its own thing.
In a way, it's just a game mode. It's not a real standalone game.
It essentially acts as a game mode now.
But is it permanent?
It is permanent.
Okay.
Yes.
Which is different from previous League of Legends game modes, which rotate and...
Yeah. Well, they've not said anything about removing it, and it's going really well.
It is. I jumped into some matches this morning, and I was in that instantaneously. Yeah.
But more of that so, you've played two of them. You've played Dota, Underlords, and League of Legends Teamfight Tactics. Yes. Now, I played all three of them, and I played them on multiple platforms to try them against each other. Where
look
I can.
At you go.
Where I can. Well,
how many hours do you reckon you've spent playing these games?
A lot.
Do you reckon you're good at them?
I think I am.
Like, it's a weird thing because you'll do well in a game, but you'll be like, well, I know I'm garbage because I don't even understand basic, like points of this game. I think everybody's just garbage.
I think I've been watching, because I've been watching stuff as well and trying to understand it a bit better. So I'm starting to learn how to play it.
Yeah.
And I'm learning like build mechanics and all that. It's like learning with a trading card game. When you first play it, you're like, I don't know what's going on. But the more you research it, the more you get it. Out of the two you've played, which do you prefer?
I'm going to say Teamfight Tactics. I think it's a bit more of an accessible game. It's brighter. It's more friendly. They do strip down some of the basics, so it's harder to mess up. For instance, if you don't drag your hero onto the screen quick enough before the countdown timer expires, Teamfight Tactics will just move one of them up there for you anyway. Because, you know, obviously...
Which
you
I didn't
want,
notice happen at
obviously
one point.
You want... a fighter up there,
yeah,
and any is better than none. So League just goes, "Oh, you're too slow. I'll help you out."
Yeah, there was a moment where I'm like, "I swear I should have had time to like." There's not prompting me to put anyone up, and then I noticed, I'm like, "Wait, why is that level one character there?
God why damn it, is it doing it for me?"
I am in a mixed boat between Teamfight Tactics and Dota Underlords.
It could well be an exact thing of the comparison between Dota 2 and League of Legends, in that League of Legends offers a bit more accessible game, a little bit easier, more intuitive in a way, whereas Dota and therefore Underlords is more about deep strategy. Not that both games don't share that, but Dota 2 is a bit more punishing in that way.
I will dive into that in a second. First, I want to properly explain to our listeners how this works. Basically, what it is, you've got an 8x8 grid or a hexagonal. I think that's a word.
That's a good word.
Grid.
Reminds me of a Harry Potter witch.
It's my no, I'm not gonna say that. It, then
we'll
you've
talk
got
later.
The grid in League of Legends. So they're working on a grid, and basically what it is you will start the match. There's three rounds where you play against little like trash mob bots, and you'll get gold, and you'll use that to purchase heroes that you put down onto the board. And then basically this isn't, you don't play once the actual timer starts. What it is you put your little characters on the board and then they will fight on your behalf. So this is all about making sure you make the right choices with the character you're using. Characters have a race and a class, and the more of a class that you have, you'll unlock bonuses. The more of a race you'll have, you'll unlock bonuses.
Yeah, it's like a set bonus. You get three of the same race and it'll trigger that race bonus.
And so the heroes will double up in the shop between rounds that you can purchase. And what will happen is if you buy three of the same hero, it combines into one. one leveled up version of that hero.
Mm-hmm.
Then if you have, so there's three tiers, tier one, tier two, and tier three. Tier one is, you know, your scrubs. Tier two is all right. Tier three is great. But to get to tier three, you have to have three tier two versions of that character.
Which is a lot. I've played a lot of games and have been completely unable to achieve that because characters, oh God, it is pretty deep. I don't know how much of this we can actually
reveal. Do you know this? Because I didn't know this until I actually did some research. But the shop is shared.
Oh, everybody sees the same
Everyone
heroes.
Is seeing the same heroes.
No, I did not.
And that's why it's, you know, so what happens is as you're like, I really want to do a savage build in Dota Underlords. I'll do a savage build. And then you're noticing someone else is doing a savage build and they're getting, they're leveling up faster and you're just not seeing them. It's because they're taking them from the shop.
Oh, so you're telling me if you re-roll the character shop,
yeah,
you are then seeing the potential options for the next people who haven't re-rolled?
No, it's not the re-roll, but what it is the actual stock, the actual quantity that's in the deck is the same for all players.
Right.
So you're not seeing the exact same shop, but you've got a one big deck in the middle of all these characters,
so
and you're all using the same.
If I see a level 3 of a certain character, I shouldn't pursue that character, because they're probably mostly gone.
And it doesn't tell you that.
Is this both games?
Yes.
That is crazy. Yeah. No, I had no idea. What I mostly struggle with in these games is the race bonuses and stuff like that we just discussed, because I don't know what those bonuses give me, and I don't know if I should be prioritizing those bonuses or prioritizing leveling up characters.
So here's the thing. This is where I think I see the big difference between League and Dota Underlords. Dota Underlords actually has a very good kind of compendium of characters and their abilities and what you can get with bonuses. Like, you can go into this kind of appendix and go, right, well, what's this bonus? What's that? That kind of thing, and see it.
Yep.
Dota Underlords also offers proper bot fights, so you can properly train and get your head around it before you're taking on characters and you've got that kind of stress. So you can put it on easy and you can take your time being like, okay, well, what does that do? And you can pause the game and be like, well, what does this do? So it's more of a training exercise.
League
there.
Of Legends doesn't offer an offline with bots?
No. League of Legends is online and you can't pause it, and they don't have an appendix so that you can look through and see, well, what, like, you can only do it while the game is going. You can, like, look at this character and be like, okay, well, they're this and this. So you would need to go to a third party outside of the game to go and find this information. So that's easy enough, but I feel like the way these games are made, Dota invites you more to understand their characters and what's going on a bit more.
But there might also be more to understand, potentially.
I don't know. I feel like League, I put characters in and I don't fully understand if I've made the right choice, whereas Dota, I know my builds already and I know what I'm aiming for and I know how to do it because I've had that time to properly train with it.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I'm doing amazing. I hadn't... look, last time I spoke, 2 weeks ago, I'd managed to do really well and I was winning lots of games. I hadn't, not lost, but I was doing really well. Since then, I'm still doing pretty well, but I think I have this thing where I'm very good at picking things up quickly, and then my problem is that everyone else kind of catches up and I'm not going beyond that point.
Right, and other people might.
Yeah, so when I started Battle Royales, I was very good at the very beginning. Apex, I was killing that first few weeks. Nick, your boyfriend, we had a win. Our first night, we had a win.
And he probably didn't shoot anything.
No, he was doing really well. But then since then, I've not... Like, I have a win here and there, but it wasn't as successful consistent as it used to be.
Yeah.
So I think that's my big problem. So I think everyone's kind of...
Well, I think, isn't that just indicative of you being a person who plays multiple games and has a life, other people who you're competing against playing 12 hours a day and now absolutely smashing it?
Yeah. I would say as well, I think League is missing a big chance to put this onto mobile. I believe they're considering it.
I'm sure they're planning
it. There was an AMA where they said, yeah, we're probably going to do it. But we're focusing on getting the PC one 100% right first.
Right.
I'm like, that's a good move.
Using that as a beta process.
Exactly. But Dota Underlords, I have so much time for the ability to just be like, I will be cooking dinner and I have Dota Underlords to the right of the frying pan while I'm like...
It is a game that plays itself.
And I'm just like, cool, around, I'll just stop for a second, mixing this salad or whatever. And I'll be like... okay, go. And I've got like 30 seconds before I need to really check back in, because I can look at it and be like, oh, okay. But like, I'm looking at it going, I can see instantly the other characters that are on there. I know how this will play out for the most part.
Yeah, see, I'm always rushed. I always use that full countdown because I don't think I understand the game as well as you yet. So I still have to look at a character. Do I want them? How can I compare it against the other options I have? Who do I want to equip this item to? Why them? I don't know what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think the more you play, definitely. Which introduces an interesting problem in that maybe the better you are at the game and therefore already advanced beyond the novices, like that countdown time would just boost you even further, like ahead of everybody else if you know those things. But, whatever. Like, it's not like
it's a matter of how quickly. It could also be a matter of how quickly you can burn through that store to find the characters you want before anyone else can get them.
Oh, that costs a lot of coinage, though. Yeah. I don't know if that's a great tactic.
I also don't know if you know this, but if you also don't spend your coin, you hold it, you get an interest bonus.
I did know that
one. Okay, that one I didn't know for ages.
I know that in Underlord, same deal with Teamfight Tactics.
I've not tried in Teamfight yet. I know it's in Dota. But this is the thing. I think I played more of Dota just from its accessibility point of view, but I may enjoy League a bit more.
I was saying the opposite. I felt League was more accessible.
No, in terms of the fact that I can just have my iPad.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Like, I'm on the train, I'll just play some Dota Underlords. And I will say, iPad, not my iPhone X, because my iPhone X...
Too small?
Well, no, there's certain menu options that I'm trying to reach on the edge, and it just doesn't... It's not as good. Like... It's overlapping, like, items and something... items and the shop overlap slightly once you get, like, a third item. So I'm, like, trying to click on the third item to drag it over, and I'm opening the shop. I'm like, go away. Whereas on my iPad, it's spread out a bit more and
a bit
better.
You need a gamer mode.
Well, no, it's not that at all. No, the shop in the...
talking about, like...
Yeah, no, because it's all condensed. It overlaps slightly. So I'm like, you need to fix that. I don't know if it happens on other ones as well, if it's just an iPhone X because of how the screen is shaped.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I just think Dota Underlords, I've seen more people, especially on Twitter, playing it, but I've seen that League is doing really well as well, and I know that League has had its first esports event.
Oh, for Teamfight Tactics?
Yes.
How did that go? It'd almost be really interesting to watch.
Watch it, but I might go back and see it. I don't know if it's actually happened yet or it's about to happen or it's announced. They've had like unofficial ones. Like there's been some, but like with people from the esports community have done unofficial ones, but I think an official one is coming.
It does feel like an esport title, right?
Yes,
these kind of games feel like they fit perfectly into that genre. I don't know if they'd be fun to watch. I think it's more for people who know and enjoy the game. But it's not like there's chaos happening and it's like everybody's shouting and having fun.
It's not going to be like a MOBA where I think you can sit anyone in front of a MOBA and they can go, right, that is Team A, that is Team B, they're trying to get from there to there, and I don't need to know much beyond that, and you can just enjoy people fighting and the color.
Yeah, you can
enjoy
the visuals and the effects,
like,
and
even
the
before
abilities.
Before I knew MOBAs, I could watch that. I think it'll be much more kind of like my problem that I have with Overwatch esports, where you need to know a lot more about Overwatch to properly get enjoyment out of it. I don't think I could sit someone who is a gamer but doesn't play Overwatch in front of an Overwatch esports event. You know, we saw this when we went to MEO last year. You guys were less engaged because you were like, and then my friend who knows, myself and my friend who know Overwatch were like, oh, they're going to go for this tactic because we knew the characters so intrinsically.
Sure. I don't know. I'd say that was par for the course of both games. I think to enjoy esports, you probably need to know the game at a very basic level, no matter what the game.
What I'm saying is MOBA and Dota, things like that, and League, it's pulled out. You've got this bird's eye. You're not secluded to one person's point of view.
No.
So you've got a bit more of a look
at
what's happening.
It's way easier to follow the camera and understand what's happening within
Whereas
the game.
I think with this one, you know, you'll see characters drop in on either sides, and if you don't know what that means, you're like, oh, is this a good fight? Are they doing a good fight? Or is this a bad fight? And you wouldn't know. But
do you have a prediction? Is this genre going to thrive and continue? Because I don't know that it's reached the point of other genres that have come out more recently.
I think it'll be... it's not going to be Battle Royale.
Not that popular.
It'll be trading card. It's that strategy game.
But even trading cards, they've been going on forever.
Yeah,
like,
but you got to remember...
They keep thriving.
Yeah, and I think this could keep thriving if people can keep adding... Like, you know, a Witcher... auto chess, that'd go crazy. Like,
oh, imagine
if there's
an auto chess built into Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah, if people can like adapt it to their style and add little bits and pieces here, it'll do the exact same thing that trading card games have done, because they've intrinsically not changed. They're the same, but with their own little additions. And I think the big thing with them is with Battle Royale, anyone can drop in and be like, cool, I know what a first-person shooter is. I can just have a go. Whereas I think with trading card games and now with this, it's much more about the strategic. And like, I have to be willing to learn it. Like, someone's not going to drop in who isn't interested in the strategy or learning strategy and be like, wow, I'm having such a great time.
For me, the comparison between trading card games come from, it's this mixture of actual strategy and intelligence and knowing the game, as well as seemingly random luck.
And chance.
Absolutely.
And people love that. That's why trading card games continue to go, is there's that element of chance. You can't just be amazing. Mm. The most amazing player, I remember a few years ago, I think it was Hearthstone, one of the best players, was undone because his opposition just got the right cards at the right time.
Yeah, it'll happen.
Yeah, and I think this falls into that. It's that measure of chance, and also the way that the AI interacts. You can't predict it all the time. There are times where I'm like, cool, I'm going to put this person on the back line so they'll protect if there's an assassin that comes from behind, and then they immediately run to the front line. I'm like, no! And then the next match, they won't. They will protect when that assassin appears.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so the AI has a little bit of unpredictable RNG going for it as well. Mm. So I think there's a good amount of strategy and luck.
Valve and Dota 2 especially are well known for their ability to make AI that will just crush human players.
Yes.
Like, they've done tournaments or streams where their toughest AI go up against professional teams, and it's a good match.
Yeah.
I will say one more thing before we close up, assuming you've kind of run out of...
Yeah, I've run out. We've talked for quite a while.
I know.
I could talk all day, because I'm actually very much enjoying the genre, and I'd like to see it grow and thrive and stay around, because I think it's actually a good genre.
Oh, it'll stay for a while.
Yeah.
For sure. But I did recognize that one of the differences between Teamfight Tactics and Dota Underlords is that in Teamfight Tactics, there's these rounds that basically let...
The circle?
Yeah, the circle. Yeah. And you get put into this circle, and there's some champions with items on them within the middle, and the person who is coming last gets to pick first.
Yep.
And it keeps going until the person who is winning gets to pick what's left over, which is a great technique to allow players to catch up and even out the battlefield and make it a bit more challenging, which is cool.
Took me forever the first time that happened.
Oh, I didn't know what I was doing.
I was running into the shield and being like, oh no, I'm rubber banding because I keep going back to the middle. I can't get a thing. And then I was like, wait, why do I have a circle and they don't?
I didn't even know there were things to get when I first saw it. I was just running around like crazy because everybody was. And then I'm assuming I attached to a champion and got them, but I didn't know what happened.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I just want to add, we didn't really talk about auto chess, which you've not played. I like it. There's a lot to it, but I will say that artistically, it's just not as interesting. The characters are a bit uglier. Like, I think it would need a refresh in the art style for it to be good. It's a bit like chibi, but not, I don't know. It's not engaging at all.
Look, this is a game being made by one guy or a small team.
Yeah.
It's very hard to compete with two of the biggest developers. Exactly.
If he can maybe pick up some people. If Auto Chess gets rolling and this gets popular and he can pick up a couple of extra people and they can maybe do a bit of an update on the art style, I think it'll be really good. Because the actual strategy behind it, I feel, is really solid. That has been Auto Chess, guys. Let us know, have you been playing Auto Chess? Do you enjoy it? Do you win a lot? I'm lately coming second a lot. I keep doing really well at the start and
I've
then just watching myself dwindle. Really?
Yeah.
We'll get you a win. We should do an auto chess championship with all the checkpointers. And see how we go. But yeah, let us know if you've been enjoying it. But for now, I've been Cameron. That's been Elliot.
I have.
Yeah, you have. You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this, you can find heaps more episodes with Elliot and I, and I guess the other made-up people that we do voices of.
If you count them.
The marionette of Luke.
Yeah.
Until next time, guys. Catch ya.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.